the anger.
Blog Talk Radio.
The only one that's actually really hurting behind it. Really.
Temperatures can be brutal.
Good morning, Sister Lorraine.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Amen. Amen. All right. I'm not going to keep us long this morning. I sent out some pictures last night. If you guys check your email or even your text, I think I sent it to some of you in text. You should see some pictures of the microgreen kits that I proposed to use. And I, you know, went ahead and did some test seeding and, you know, started the growth process. Have you guys been able to check those out yet?
I haven't checked them out yet, brother. I just haven't been up to it. But I'm going to try to do it today.
Okay, amen. All right, so I sent the kit. I started the kits, and they're, 4-inch by 6-inch trays with the lids on them and the drain. I don't know what you call that. It's where the water would drain out of it if it gets, you know, overwatered so that and how you would water it. Because what with these microgreens and what I found out with them is you don't really want to top water. You don't want to water them from the top except for when you first start. And every time you water after that, the little tray that is provided that they sit in, there's a tray that they grow in, and there's another water tray. That sits up under water retention tray, I guess we'll call it. You would just water from there. You pour water into that, and not a whole lot, because you don't want them to be, you don't ever want them to be saturated, like soggy. But you want them, right, you know, to have enough water to where, you know, they're able to take it up and use it. And so, you know, this being my first time as well, I played around with it, and then last night I'd only put them in there 2 days ago. I soaked, you know, the sunflower seeds. So I sent pictures of the sunflower seeds. I had taken pictures of all the trays. I did four trays, one for sunflowers, one for radishes, one for the mixed salad, and one for peas. And I took pictures of what was going to be the recommended, you know, seed density per tray. Because I wanted to know just how much we needed to put into the seed packets for each kit. And then I put them into the tray, you know, and spread them out so that, you know, we can have an idea of how it looks. Because a lot of people, when you look at the pictures, you're going to see that the seeds are very tightly packed together, and when they started germinating, you know, it just looks like a, almost like a big blob in a way. You can see little you know, stems here and there, but within a couple of days, you know, they really started germinating and started growing into the substrate, and I was surprised, you know, when I looked at them, because some of them, let's see, the sunflower seeds and the peas, I soaked them for like close to 24 hours. I soaked them in peroxide, a 3% peroxide mix first for like 11 hours, and then, you know, I rinsed that off, and then I soaked them again. And so they just, like, took off. And so the peroxide is to kill off any fungus or algae that may, you know, algae or anything that's maybe already on the seeds. And you don't really want that stuff, you know, you don't want that in your growth at all, because you're supposed to be able to eat these, you know, right out of the tray. So you don't want anything in there that's going to, you know, be harmful to a person. So let's do this. Let's pray in. Let's do our statement of faith and pray in, and then we will get into this. If all of you who are able to open your email. Go ahead and open your email and look. I sent you the only one that I could find the seed density on, the picture. I think I actually taped it, and I'm redoing the website so that I can upload these videos not to Gmail, but to the actual website, so that we just go to our own website and everything will be there. And then for those things that, you know, I just don't want the public to see, then I will give you guys a password. And when you enter into the site, you know, those particular pages, you'll have to put that password in. It won't be open to the public. But right now, everything is open to the public. So let's go ahead and do our statement of faith and pray in, and then we'll jump into this conversation. But I was really, really surprised, you know, and I'm kind of amazed, but I'm kind of tickled as to how intrigued I am with this stuff. Had I known that it was going to excite me this much, I would have did this years ago. It's been a long time. I used to get this kind of joy from doing computers and figuring out, you know, technical problems. But this is like a renewed thing, but even at a different level. Anyway, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a praise on this morning, because we all survived the night. We are here this morning, and we are able to praise and worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We glorify you on this morning, Father. We lift you up, and we thank you, Father, for keeping us safe during the night. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. You are Elohim of Elohim. You are Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. You are masters of masters. And we just thank you this morning, Father, and we lift you up and we magnify you and we glorify you. And we thank you for your many blessings, Father, on this morning. We lift you up. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Our scripture reading on this morning. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. The book of Jeremiah chapter 31. I need to get my glasses. All right, let me see if I can do this without my glasses. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 through the end. Read along with me. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. All right, thank you. At the same time, saith Yah, will I be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith Yah, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Yah has appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy taverns, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion, unto Yah our Elohim. And thus saith Yah, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among this chief of nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yah, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplication will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yah, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For Yah has redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of Yah, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yah. Thus saith Yah, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith Yah, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yah, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith Yah, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art Yah, my Elohim. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith Yah. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thy backsliding daughter? For Yah has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, As yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. Yah bless thee, O habitation of justice, and mountains of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and all the cities thereof together husbandmen, that they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awake and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with seed of man and with seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith Yah. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity, Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith Yah, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yah of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yah, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith Yah, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yah. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that the city shall be built to Yah from the tower of Hanel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it, the hill of Goreb, and shall compass about to Goat, the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto Yah. It shall not be plucked up or thrown down any more forever. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. On this morning, as I said, if you've had a chance to check your email, and good morning, Sister Rachel and Sister Denise. Welcome to...
Good morning.
Good morning. We are discussing the subscription microgreen kits, and as I was saying, the four seeds, the four plants that we are going to sell for microgreens. There's like 80 that are, you know, that you can do as microgreens, and that will grow between 7 and 14 days. You know, you start them, and within 7 days, some of them you are harvesting, and then some of them within 14 days. I think I saw one that takes 21. That's the longest. But we don't, you know, I don't want to get into the ones that take a long time unless it's popular. But the ones that I've researched and appear to be the most popular right now are the radishes and the sunflowers, peas, radishes, sunflowers, peas, and salad mix. So I bought those seeds, and we know that everything's in a test environment right now. And so the kits themselves, I have videotaped this stuff, but I when I uploaded it to Gmail, because that's where I've been putting it out there, I hit my storage limit, and I didn't really want to delete anything that was already out there. So what I did was start to reconfigure the website and, you know, put up a place where I can put the media, you know, all these videos and things on it, and not rely on Gmail. And once I get that done, then, you know, I'll let everybody know. It's just having the time to do it. But I took pictures and of these and sent it out last night because I was, you know, I put the kits together and documented, you know, what's going to be in each kit, the growing tray, the watering tray. There's going to be, I ordered some, as I said, some push pins because, you know, I drilled holes in the bottom of these, but they're not thick, and I believe even Sister Mary or Sister Denise could push one of these pins through the bottom. You know, it's just not, they're just not thick or it doesn't take a whole lot. But whoever is doing, you know, growing or buys these, the growing tray has to drain. You can't just put water in there and let it sit. So if it's too much water in this BioStrate cloth, and, you know, I think I'll take pictures of that as well. Or you can see it in the pictures, the white cloth that is in the bottom with the seeds on it. That's BioStrate, BioStrate. And it's just a cloth that is like neutral. It doesn't have anything in it, and it doesn't, you know, add any type of chemical or anything like that to the seeds. So it's just something that the seed can take root in and hold on to. And it's very water, you know, it's very porous and very water absorbent. So I
a paper towel, right? Because I tried one with paper towel.
It's actually more so like, it's not quite like a paper towel. It is like a, trying to think of a material that it will be. It's like a felt.
Okay.
Or like a cheesecloth or, you know, somewhere in that area. But it's not as dense as a cheesecloth. You know, you can, it's kind of strong, but you can still tear it easily. But, it, you know, you could never tear it straight. You know, it would just.
Right, yeah. Okay.
So that's the kind of material it is. And it soaks up water, you know, real easy.
Oh, okay.
And so part of this kit and the documentation, you know, I wanted to know how much water to tell people to put into it, you know, to start off. Because if you don't know how to grow, then you might think, you know, well, all I got to do is put some water in there.
Right, yeah.
And that would not be real good. And then the actual growing pots themselves, they don't come with any holes in the bottom for drainage. And so, you know, I said, now either I can sit here and pre-drill these, pre-punch holes in them and, you know, and send them out that way. But that actually becomes very labor intensive on this side. And I said, so what's another way that we could do this? And, you know, so I thought about it for a minute. I said, you know what? Let me get a tack or a nail. And try this, and you know, and it pushes through very easy with just the bare, you know, little bit of strength. If you can stick a thumbtack in a wall, you could, you know, you can do this.
Mm.
So I said, okay, this will make it easier. And then so the instructions will tell them, you know, as part of getting the kit ready, they are to push, you know, punch holes in the bottom, maybe 9 or 10 holes in the bottom of it. And then they put the BioStrate material in, and then they wet the BioStrate material. So I tell them, you know, get this amount of water. But then, you know, I really need to. Some people may not have measuring cups, and I don't really want to ship water in anything. I probably will need to take a picture. I might need to do it with a normal spoon because, you know, it's very little water that you're going to put in there.
Half a teaspoon or a teaspoon would be,
Huh?
I said, yeah.
No, say that again.
Half a teaspoon or a teaspoon. Everybody should have a teaspoon.
Yeah, they should, but, you know, I can't take that for granted.
You sure can't because
so I have
everybody
to assume that they don't.
Right, okay.
And that way, you know, it's covered for those people who don't. Because, you know, when I used to teach, one of the things that I've always done is teach or provide to what I would call the weakest link.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody doesn't learn the same way.
Everybody doesn't learn the same way.
And so, you know, you have to use different techniques or explain things a little bit different to different types of people. And so where you can, you know, you can assume that you teach a lesson and let's say 70 or 80% of everybody's going to get it. But then it's going to be that 30 to 20 to 30% that don't. And then if you explain it a different way, then half of those get it. And then, you know.
Yep.
So I always try to teach and do things to the weakest, what I call the weakest link, you know, to be politically correct. With this, we're going to need to provide, you know, we're going to need to provide everything that the person will need that's reasonable, that, you know, will make this worth doing. So, and I'm not trying to, you know, everybody should have access to some water, okay, and they don't have to, and the water should be, you know, it should be pH neutral, but it doesn't have to be. But the best results, you know, will be if the water is like a pH 6.0. And, you know, so I don't expect
like
everybody to have,
water.
You know, the instruments or anything to test the pH in the water. And then from the research, you know, there's a lot of people that don't even test their water. They don't know what pH it is. And, you know, they still get good results. Huh?
I said, that's me. I don't know what the water is.
Yeah, well, I never knew either. I just knew we had hard water. But, you know, I didn't know what the pH level of it was. Even, you know, in the pool, you know, you got to keep the pH level correct. But I would know what it would be in the pool water. But I'm adding all kind of chemicals in there that you don't add to tap water.
Right.
So I didn't know what it was coming out of the sink as. You know, the little pool strips just tell you whether it's high or low. It don't tell you what the number is.
Right.
It's an approximation. So this, you know, what I'm doing with this is very methodical and scientific. As far as business, for business purposes, then, you know, we want to do things the same way all the time. When we get the best results. And so, you know, documentation and, you know, repeating the process is the way we would want to go to try to produce the same results or close to the same results each time. We can say, okay, if something goes wrong, then here are our control parameters. We use this much water. We use this much seed. We water it for this time frame, so forth and so on, so that we can produce the same results. So when I did these, when I cut the bio straight and put it in the bottom, then I wanted to know, you know, how much water that it would take, exactly how much water it would take to actually saturate, you know, this 4x6 piece of material. How much would, you know, stay in the actual container? And I started off with like 250 milliliters, which was, it's a good little bit of water. And I didn't have to pour anywhere near that in it. And so then what I did was, once I saw that the, you know, the material was soaked, then, you know, they recommend that you drain off any excess. Water.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so I poured out the water and then poured back, you know, and then I drained it into another measuring cup and, you know, got back roughly half the water.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay, so I don't really need, you know, the 250. We start with 125, 150 milliliters. And so then I need to, you know, I'm going to need to break that and equate that to, you know, teaspoon or a tablespoon.
Okay.
And then I want to, you know, sort of put a picture in there so that if somebody doesn't have, you know, a measuring cup like that, that they'll know approximately how much water to put in there. You know, a little bit over is not going to kill it. But the thing with growing the greens and stuff like this is it has, you know, the area has to be well ventilated and or you could get mold. Because when you...
Cause
when
of
you,
poisonous, yep.
Yeah, you could get mold. And so Some of the seeds, like sunflower seeds and the peas, that you know, they could come with some type of fungus on them. So everything, you know, has to be sanitized. And, you know, before we send it out, you know, I will make sure that the trays and everything are sanitized with peroxide. So they'll get the trays and they're sanitized. And, you know, with growing plants, it's important that you are clean. It's important that you keep the area sanitized. You can, you know, dirt is dirt. And we're not using dirt, but we don't want to introduce any mold or anything like that, because you're supposed to be able to pull it right out of there and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in your food. You don't wash it. So, you know, you can wash it, but if you wash it, then it actually loses its nutritional value and starts to decay a lot faster.
Hmm.
So. You know, this is designed that you grow it, you cut it, you put it on whatever you're going to use it on, your sandwich or your soup or whatever it is that you're going to use it for.
Okay.
Or just eat it, you know, cut it and eat it if you want, if you like it that way. The peas are like that, where the children like it. From the research, children like these, you know, tend to go for these peas that we're growing, and I'll get the exact name of them. But, you know, they just eat them raw. And so you want to keep the area kind of sanitized so that you don't get any of that foreign, you know, something growing in there that shouldn't grow in there. And, you know, you definitely don't want to be cutting meat like chicken or something like that and then touching it, because then you might spread.
A cross-contamination.
Yeah, right. Cross-contamination with salmonella.
Salmonella.
Because this is raw, so you know, just those types of, you know, those types of things to make sure, as a caution, put in there, like keep the area sanitized, and if you're working with meats, make sure you wash your hands, because if you're going to eat these raw, then there's not going to be a way to uncontaminate them if they get contaminated.
Contaminate.
You just have to throw them away because you won't be able to consume them. Or you'd have to cook them, and if they're cooked for a long time, then from the research, if they're cooked for a long time, they lose their nutritional value. Okay, so it's not something that you want to do with them. But anyway, I soak the sunflower seeds and I soak the peas, and then put them in there. And that was 2 days ago. Today is the third day. So, but I went to water them last night because I forgot it was Sabbath, and, you know, I'm not doing anything on Sabbath. The plants have to, you know, they can survive a day without being looked at and what have you. So after the Sabbath, I was intending, you know, to go and to water them so that they don't get dried out, because one of the things you can't do is allow these seedlings to get dried out.
Mm.
If they dry out, they'll die.
They're weathered, yeah.
So they're depending upon the water, but you can't overwater them, because then you also, you know, you introduce a mildew or mold issue. Right.
Mm. So it's like you have to keep it at a balance.
Right. And so I want it measured. You know, and I want to be able to give people the instruction. This is what you need to put in there. You don't need to put a whole lot of water in there, you know, as you're watering them day to day. You check them in the morning. You look with the, you know, I think what you will probably be surprised is the number of seeds that I put in there, because the whole bottom of the growing surface is covered, or for the most part is covered. And so you would think that, oh, there's no room for anything to grow. But, you know, the seeds will find the substrate. You got to make sure that they're – I went through with my hand and, you know, and tapped them down to make sure that they were connecting with the substrate, the biostrate.
Mm-hmm.
But they are all germinating. It looks like I got just about 100% germination, which is kind of unusual, from the ones that I soaked. And then the ones that I didn't soak, you know, they were saying, some of them were saying it takes 3 or 4 days for them to germinate. They were, I actually sprayed them with peroxide water because that it's actually supposed to be good for them. So when you soak them in peroxide, a peroxide solution, it softens the shell of the seed and it allows more oxygen to enter into the seed. And the seed needs a lot of oxygen when it's first starting off. And so this soaking it in peroxide or this 3% peroxide mix allows it to get more oxygen and germinate better and faster. And it seems to have worked, even for, you know, the seeds that I didn't soak. I didn't soak the radish or the mix, the salad mix, because they're very small seeds. And by the time you drain off the stuff, you know, you're going to lose half the seeds trying to drain the water off of them. So you don't actually soak them. But I did spray them down. I put in the water, the growing container on the substrate, and then put the seeds on top of that, and then misted the seeds after I put them on there, and then put the lid on. Now, after you do that, you need to put them in a dark place. They don't need light at this point. You put them in a dark place. And in my sunroom, there is not a whole lot of, you know, there's no dark areas except at night. So what I did was took a box that I received, you know, something from Amazon in, and I put them inside the box and then, you know, put a growing tray on top of that. So that no light would, a bigger growing tray that I'm going to use for the real big production microgreen cells. And I also videotape that stuff too.
And how long it have to be in the dark?
2 to 4 days.
Okay.
So you start getting germination after what I see is 2, but you let them continue to grow to day 4. In the dark, and then you take them out and you water them, you give them more water than you had given them, because they'll be really thirsty and it'll be a bunch of them in there, and then you put them up under a light, so you can put them up under, you know, a lamp or in the windowsill. You just want to get them to light, and so I have grow lights that I'm using that I purchase that, you know, sort of emulate sunlight.
Right.
And they'll be up under this grow light, but, you know, you don't need a grow light. You can use a normal lamp or, like I said, you know, a part of your house where you get sunlight at, you know, a window.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can do it that way. Mm-hmm. And so... tomorrow, today is day 3. Yeah, I will actually take them all out tomorrow morning. I will water them again. I'll go in and check them a little bit later today to see if they have used up all the water that's in there, because I'm not putting very much water in there right now. And because you're putting a closed lid on top of the grow container, then any water that would evaporate out stays in the container.
Right, okay.
It forms, you know, on the lid of the container and on the sides of the walls. It won't evaporate out. So anything that's not used, it sort of recycles it. And you need that humidity. So I will take them out tomorrow. Or I'll go in and water them tonight, and then tomorrow I will take them out and actually put them up under the grow lights, and they should just explode. And they, from, you know, for depending upon the seed, then there'll be another 4 to 7 days before that particular seed is, you know, is ready to be harvested. But they, you know, they just look like they're going to look like young plants. Very young plants where the stems are, you know, you can see a plant. And if you, you know, ever grown anything, if you pull a plant up out of the ground when it's real young, the bottom part of the plant is what, white.
Yeah.
And then it sort of turns green as it comes up, you know, toward the leaves where the chlorophyll is at. You know, and these are not sprouts. Right now they're in the, what you call the sprouting phase. And people, you know, buy them at this phase as well for because they're more crunchy at this phase. So when they first come out of the seed and they just sprout it out of the seed, and they may be 2 or 3 inches long, they're known as sprouts. And, you know, people buy them at that age to consume in, you know, on sandwiches and things like that. But they don't have all the nutrients in them yet. They're less nutrient, have less nutrient value. But once they get to about to the size of what they call a microgreen, is between 4 and 7 inches tall, then they have all the nutrient value of a full grown plant. They're not going to ever get any more nutrient value than they have at that size, no matter how big they get.
And but so, it's the bigger they get, the less nutrients they have in it, right?
It's spread out through the plant. So it doesn't get any more, it just spreads it through the plant.
Oh, okay.
So if you get it at this size, you get it in a what, condensed form?
Mm-hmm.
And as the plant grows and gets bigger, then the nutrient value stays the same, but it gets spread throughout the plant. So, you know, let's say if I did a cabbage microgreen, then in that microgreen is going to be the same nutrient value as in a whole head of lettuce or a whole head of cabbage.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know
so
what, Brother Miles?
You know, it's concentrated you get more value from it that way.
You know what, Brother Miles?
I
have seen in the store this butter lettuce, and it's like it's grown hydroponically because it has the roots still attached to the lettuce. And I can, you know, you can just see it. And that's how you eat it. And it's pretty good. I've had some.
Oh, amen. Amen.
I tried to grow one and I put it in dirt. It grow pretty good.
Yeah, they you know, most of these plants will, the microgreens won't take to the dirt if you grow them hydroponically because you're actually, because of the density of the seeds and how you're doing it, they won't, you couldn't transplant these.
Okay.
You're not providing any what? We're not mixing any
nutrients,
plant food or anything in there. We're not providing any nutrients. The seeds are growing off of their own energy.
Gotcha.
And everything that is needed is within that seed. Even all the, you know, the nutrients it's going to produce and whatever nutrient it requires to grow is in that seed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then for it to transfer or to transform into trying to grow into a full grown plant, then it needs to start pulling nutrients out of the dirt or out of the water. But because it has expended all of its energy, I think what they're saying is that they didn't have the energy to even do that because it's fighting with all these other plants to get what it needs out of the seed, and then it doesn't get to whatever makes it. That's what I'm looking for here. Whatever triggers it to start growing from, you know, to start searching for nutrients elsewhere, doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they will just die. So you harvest them, you know, then at that point. And the reason that I want to use the BioStrait is because since you're not really supposed to wash these, if you grow them in dirt, when you harvest them, you have to be very careful not to get dirt, you know, get dirt in or on them.
That happens.
Because you don't want to package them with any dirt on them either.
Right.
You know, so the BioStrait doesn't have any dirt, so you can cut it as close to the root as you want and not worry about it. You know, you sort of pick it up by some leaves and chop off what you want and put it in your salad or put it in your soup or whatever, you know, however it's going to be used. But I was, I guess I was just fascinated to see, you know, the growth that I got in the couple of days. And the pictures show that. And then I wanted to show, you know, the seed density, what I'm calling the seed density, the amount of seeds that, you know, you have to put in there. And that they would get in the kit and that they're supposed to use all of them. They might get a little bit more than they need, but, you know, I'd rather them to get a little bit more than they need than not to get enough. You know, not a whole lot more, but it is for them to get what they need so that, you know, they can get what I'm thinking is value out of this. And then, you know, once these trays grow up, like I said, then I will see what the density is. I want to eat them myself and test them, see, you know, how they taste at this, you know, at that age, and sort of, you know, sort of describe it for each one. For me, this one was kind of bitter, or then if they are bitter, then you know, I want people to know that, but I also want to see if there's another type of plant that you can grow with it or a seasoning that you can put with it that, you know, may cut it down. Like you may put lemon juice on it or something that changes, you know, the flavor or what have you. So that, you know, the goal is to help people to, what, eat healthier.
Yep.
And there's already some people who are health conscious like that. But, you know, I also want to appeal to those of us who haven't been eating healthy, who say we're into truth, but we may not even know how to eat healthy. And it's expensive to eat healthy.
Yes, it is.
It is.
You know, so I'm trying to get these, I think, I didn't see any of the $2.45 boxes at the post office anymore. I think the cheapest I saw that you could ship something out is like $7 and something. I have to ask the question because I had to renew my you know, my P.O. box anyway. But while I was in there, I was looking, you know, to see if what the cheapest was, and I saw $7. I said, well, that's a lot more than what it's been. You know, so adding that cost in, I think I'm gonna probably have to split the cost. I'll, you know, part of it I will take away from profit, and part of it I will pass on to the consumer, because, you know, it has to make sense. We're doing it to get people to eat healthier, but we're also doing it to make money. And so if, you know, with shipping and everything, if it's going to be too expensive, then we may not be able to go down that route. Before, I know the post office used to have, you could ship anywhere, the box, you could ship anywhere for like $2.45.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be doable. When I priced everything out, you know, with the BioStrate and the containers and, you know, the water retention, the push pins, the little baggies that the seeds go in, that kind of stuff. Let me see if I've got the spreadsheet still up. Temperature and humidity chart. Hold on a minute. Yeah. I have it by seed, you know, how much it would cost to, with the shipping cost that I had projected, or this was without shipping. And so I'm going to have to include shipping in this as soon as I confirm it. But without shipping, like for, let's say, the speckled peas, it would cost somewhere per tray, like to get it out the door, $3.20. That's
per tray.
You know, the container, the seeds, the instructions, the whole nine yards, $3.20 to make it. Then we would sell it for, I was looking to try to sell it for $12.99. If shipping is $7, then I'm going to have to rethink, you know, still going to have to make it less than $20. And then I have to go to the store and see if somebody were, you know, to go to the store and buy microgreens, which is kind of hard to do, but, you know, you can catch them in there. What is the price? And does this make sense, you know, for somebody to get this as mail order? This should produce enough microgreens for to last them a month. Then I have to go and say, okay, if I buy this at the store, what would be the price? But the goal was to get it out the door for, you know, as cheap as possible, and then retail it for $12.99. And that would be, you know, something every month.
And with that $12.99 a day, cool shipping and handling?
Huh?
With the $12.99, would that include shipping and handling?
That's what I wanted it to include. It may not include that now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because I was going under the premise that the post office was still offering the boxes, the little boxes that they had, that, you know, and I sort of sized this so that it would fit in those boxes, that, you know, it could ship anywhere in the U.S. for $2.45.
Oh, okay.
And so with the, you know, the price, $3.20 to make it, then you add the $2.45 to that. That would be shipping and handling.
Right.
Then your profit would be somewhere right around $10. No, right about around $7 per.
Okay.
And, you know, $7 for something that costs you $3, that's a pretty good profit. And you can, you know, it's sustainable. You can make money. You make enough money for profit, and you make enough money to, you know, put back in and resupply yourself.
Right.
Now, if it's $7, then I'm going to have to rethink it.
Okay.
Because then, you know, the shipping and handling would be the vast majority of the cost.
Yeah.
And so then I have to say, okay, if we do this, I know – things are higher today, but, you know, I'm not really trying to start something that, you know, people will say that it's just too expensive.
Right.
Even for something, you know, for those who are interested in, like I said, one of the marketing, one of the marketing strategies is to appeal to the children, you know, just like the Chia Pets.
Right.
But for the parents, you know, that the kids, you know, they want their kids to eat healthier, so they buy the kit, and the kid is actually growing their own, what, little vegetables.
Uh-huh.
Right.
That they can eat.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you want to, I would have to probably appeal to someone or appeal to my inner child and say, okay, if I was a child, how could I package this to make it more appealing? You know, some type of cartoon or whatever. So I would probably contact
right.
Brother Isaiah and say, hey, brother, you know, I want to contract you to draw this for me. And I want it to appeal to children and, you know, have him to do the artwork for it. And then, you know, so that it's something that would be appealing to a child, you know, the ages. I'm going to say 6 to their teens. They're, you know, they could still get into it, but it would be that simplistic. So that they could grow their own. That's one avenue. And, you know, for marketing, everything is about what? Presentation.
Yep.
How it looks, how appealing is it, those types of things. So, as far as, you know, selling at the farmers markets and, you know, to grown people, I already have that packaging and that marketing done. But for this was a completely new business aspect and trying to implement it for something that that you can sell across the U.S. You're not limited to your local, you know, to your local market, your local economy. So I wanted a subscription service that had value in it, and you're not limited to the local farmers market or, you know, the city that you're in. And so if the greens haven't been grown yet, the microgreens haven't been grown yet, then you can ship them virtually anywhere. Because you're going to grow them, you know, wherever they get them at.
Right.
So that's the, you know, that's the thought process behind this. And as I said, I wanted to do a test kit, and then I will, you know, I'm going to actually go ahead and make up the ones that I'm going to send out to you guys, all that want to do it, that want to, you know, test it out, provide feedback. I'll send you a kit in the mail, and then you can follow the instructions and, you know, see the process and get your own. And, you know, provide feedback. Hey, this was too hard, or it didn't produce enough, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Because, you know, I'm using the optimum of everything. I am pre-soaking the seeds. I am soaking them with peroxide, you know, and I don't want to, I don't really want to have to try to package anything liquid. I think these packets would hold it, but then, you know, the potential for a leak or whatever.
Right.
I don't think that I can get this like 3% peroxide in a powder form, where, you know, you add water to it and then it becomes this 3% peroxide. And I don't want anybody to have to go buy something extra outside of the kit, you know, to do this. So I know that it'll work with plain water. They don't really have to use the peroxide. Maybe I need to do a test where I pre-soak the seeds and then pack them and see how long, you know, once they're packed, if they're not getting any air, if it actually, let's say it takes 7 days max to get somewhere, if the seeds actually try to germinate and die in that time frame. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I don't, I don't know, there's a lot of unanswered as far as that, but I haven't done it. Huh?
Didn't you say you sprayed some with 3% peroxide?
Yeah, I sprayed them all with 3% peroxide after I had soaked them. I sprayed them with 3% peroxide, and then the ones that I didn't soak, you know, pre-soak, I sprayed with 3% peroxide.
Okay.
Because the peroxide, it releases an oxygen atom. You know, peroxide is really water with an extra oxygen atom. So it's water is what, H2O, two hydrogens, one oxygen?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And peroxide is two hydrogens and two oxygen atoms.
And oxygen, yep.
And so it basically turns back into water.
Okay.
Is what it does. It releases one of the oxygen atoms and turns back into water. But that extra oxygen atom, a lot of, you know, most algae and fungi can't handle it. It actually destroys them. And that's why you can use it as an antiseptic, you know, bacteria and stuff like that.
Right.
And so, but for the plants, the seeds and stuff, they actually consume that extra oxygen atom. It actually helps them to be more fertile and to grow, you know, bigger. So, you know, the science of it is that the seed itself, when it's germinating, needs to take in a lot of oxygen. So the peroxide and with the extra oxygen atom in it actually helps it out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I get
so,
it.
Yeah, so, you know, but I don't want to, you know, like as I said, be trying to package up a little packet of, you know, peroxide and then have it some kind of way, you know, spill or leak. And I, you know, it's not necessary. I could say, well, in the packet, we're going to provide pre-soaked seeds, but I don't know how long they'll survive.
Because
I noticed that even when I was soaking them in the peroxide, some of them tried to start germinating, you know, had tried to start germinating already after like 10 to 11 hours.
Mm.
And I see, you know, the little thing popping up. I was like, wow. And so then when I put them in the water and in the bio-straightener and sprayed them down, you know, sort of misted them down, and then put them in the container, they just took off.
Mm.
And so that, you know, that's what the pictures were showing you that I sent.
Mm.
Showing you the, like the sunflower seeds before, you know, they were, before they were soaked, the seed density that I was looking for. And then after they were soaked, when I put them into the container to have them to start growing, you could already see, you know, some white on them. The seeds were black, but the stem that comes out of them is white. And so they had already started to split open. And now that, you know, they actually had started rooting. So that is what I was attempting to show you guys, plus, you know, show you the different elements of the kit itself, that this is what you would receive in the mail without, you know, without the write-up and stuff. But I am encouraged by it. I'm encouraged by it for the simple fact that the science of it, you know, I'm not seeing a lot of failure. As I said, it looked like I got 100% in all of these traits. It looked like I got 100% germination. And that's kind of unheard of. You know, you expect that some seeds are just not going to germinate.
Right.
Right.
Every one of them that you use is not going to germinate. But, you know, I don't see that. And I, you know, I'll give it another couple of days and, you know, look at the bottom, if I can see into the bottom of it, to see if there are some seeds that didn't you know, take off, didn't germinate. But so far, so good. It looked like, you know, at least I didn't look in there and see only a couple, and the rest of them were just sitting there saying, well, what are you looking at us for? they're all, you know, like, yeah, we ready to get busy.
Right.
So it was encouraging. And then, you know, if I get the same result, you know, if you get the same result when I ship them out to you, and I just want you to just use water, because you're gonna be emulating what the end user. And so I just want you to use water, plain water, tap water out of your tap, because this is what, you know, the average everyday person is going to use. I can tell them they could use peroxide, but, you know, I'm not going to provide it. And if I don't provide and they just use plain water, then this is what they should see. And I will probably do, you know, for the second test, I will probably not use peroxide at all. I'll soak them because, you know, that's another point. I have to, I probably will either have to put a note in there or try to find a way to provide a little bit of peroxide, because you really do need to soak. If you get the peas or the sunflower seeds, they need to be soaked. They need to be sanitized so that they don't get what? Any type of fungus.
No kind of fungus.
Right. So
no mold.
The other ones, the salad mix and the radish, they don't have to soak those, but the sunflower seeds and the peas, the speckled peas, they do have to
soak.
So, I have to think about this. And see, you know, what would be the best way to go about this. I could put, it doesn't take a lot of peroxide. But, you know, again, I don't want the packet to leak. And I surely don't, you know, I probably would have to buy some type of sealer. You know, they got the plastic bag sealers that you can buy. You know, you just put the end of it in there and it heats it and seals it. But that's adding a layer of work that I'm not sure that I wanted to put into this. Because, time is money.
Yeah.
And the more labor you got to put into something, you got to account for that. And so are you really making, you know, that amount of profit that you think? So, I would have to, I would have to consider that. And then if I have to do that, then automatically, you know, the kit for those particular microgreens would have to be a little bit higher to account for the labor.
Right.
So that is where we're at with this. I'm actually anxious. You know, it's been, I checked them about 12. I can't remember what time it was last night that I actually checked them. Let's see what time I sent out these pictures. Because I think for the peas and for the sunflower seeds, I could probably take them out and put them up under the light right now. Email, sent items. All right, so I sent these pictures out last night. Where my glasses at? About 1:55 in the morning. So it is 9, it's 10:14 here. So it's about another 9 hours, close to 9 hours that they've had in the dark. I will wait until this evening then, and I think I'm going to actually, because that'll really be, as far as water and germinating for the peas and the sunflower seeds, 72 hours. And, you know, I'll look at the charts and see what's the recommended time frame for them. But, you know, I'm excited. It's definitely doable.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's viable is a whole, viable and sustainable is a whole nother thing. And like I said, you know, this has all, you know, been for a test, and I didn't know whether, you know, whether the ideal was even, viable, but it is viable. It's doable. Is it sustainable? Is it profitable? Is, you know, what will be the deciding factor. I don't mind putting in the time, and since I can have, you know, I can do my own websites and have my own web servers, that type of marketing doesn't really, I account for it, but it doesn't really cost me anything, just my time. And when, you know, when I was doing that mostly, then that was all right. These days, keeping track of the website and keeping it updated, and do all the other things that I'm trying to do, the website is things that I do late at night, you know, and, but, you know, the marketing is important. And, I'm going to have to find somebody that likes Facebook, because I just really don't like dealing with Facebook.
Nope, I don't like Facebook either, brother. Can't be me.
Yeah, amen. Amen. I ain't hating you. Trust me, I'm not hating on you. I don't like dealing with it either. I don't really like social media because people are just too messy. It's all the mess. You know,
yep.
That's what I don't like, you know. Relatives and things like that. I don't even go to their Facebook pages because I, you know, go there and, niece, I don't want to see you like that.
Right.
I just don't want to see you like that. You're trying to appeal to a man, and I'm your uncle, and I don't want to see you like that.
Right.
So I don't like going, you know, and visiting their pages or anything like that. And then when I look at, you know, group specific stuff, like Hebrew specific stuff, we'd be saying so much crazy stuff. I'm like, good grief. You just hurting everybody. Saying stupid stuff. Acting stupid.
Yep.
So, you know, we make it hard on ourselves. We make it hard for, you know, people to say, oh yeah, you really are the people of the book. I'm like, you know, if the Most High hadn't told me, and I think that's what kept me away from it for some time, because the Most High had to tell me. Because had I gone out there and the Most High hadn't told me, I'd be like, these Negroes on something. You know, they didn't smoke too much weed. They're drinking too much.
It's in too much mess.
Yeah, it's just, you know, mess. And... yeah, and we will just say and do anything.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, good grief. You know, it's not even a good thing. You know, it's a negative to even tell anybody you say you're a Hebrew Israelite. And then, you know, when I try to show people that if you said that, you were actually associated with the terrorist groups.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so I had to go before the Most High and say, okay, how do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to associate? Because I said, this is what the world is. He says, you are who you are. And you're not to be ashamed of it, but you're not actually supposed to be advertising this either.
That's right.
Especially with, you know, think about it this way. You say, tell somebody you're a Hebrew Israelite, and then the Hebrew Israelite community is out there acting... not all elements of it, but some elements of it. You know, what news travels fastest? Good news or bad news?
Bad news.
Bad news. What type of advertising travels fastest? Good advertising or negative advertising?
Negative.
Exactly. And that's the problem. You can do 1,000 things good, do one thing bad, and that's what people are going to talk about.
Yep. That's the only thing they'll see.
Right. And so that's the problem with, you know, even telling people who we are because of what, you know, either out of anger, out of ignorance, or they're just chaos agents. You know, they give us a bad name.
Give you a
and
bad
people
name.
People are looking for, you know, they're always want to look for something negative when it comes to the black man.
Yes, they do.
And if we give it to them,
the majority
you know,
of us step
to,
right
you know,
into
we
it.
We can't complain to nobody if we're doing it to ourselves.
Right.
So, you know, that's, you know, one of the reasons that I hate Facebook as well, because, yeah, people just out there, as far as I can see, a lot of them just acting real ignorant. And even a lot of our own people don't believe who we are.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
And so,
and you know what else, brother?
To us. Huh?
You know what else? And a lot of them don't even want to hear.
I know. Well, you know, one of the things the Most High told me when he first brought this to, you know, to my attention, I was going before him, and as I said, I had been praying for like 3 years. You know, I have been, I will say it this way, I'm not a millionaire, and I could have been a millionaire, but it was never my desire to be a millionaire. It was never my desire to be rich. It was my desire to have what I need. And some of what I want. And, you know, and provide for my family. That was my desire. I was never to be rich. And so on the job, you know, being a workaholic, you know, I've always been an overachiever when it came to work. You know, always winning this award and that award. And, you know, in the military, I wasn't in what you would call a war or a combat type of job. I worked on mainframes, computers, but then still went a presidential citation that's unheard of in the military, selected as one of the top 10 NCOs in the Department of Defense. So that's Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard, Reserve. Name one of the top 10, not 10 million, but one of the top 10 out of millions. So I've always been an overachiever. And
yeah, me
so, you know, I was even coming into the corporate life. The Most High just always gave me favor. I want you to come into business with us. And I could have been a millionaire. I could have gone into business with Starbucks Realty. And they handle all of the data centers, you know, who goes into the data centers and that kind of stuff. But I chose not to go that route. So it wasn't a matter of not having the opportunities. It wasn't my desire. Even teaching, it was not my desire. I could have charge $7,000 per student per class and taking half of the money as tuition and teach 30 people at a time.
Yeah.
And those opportunities were presented to me. I'm like, well, no, yeah. I'm not steamrolling, you know, people coming into IT. IT is not one of those fields that for the average person, they don't pick up on it real quick. And, you know,
right.
A lot of people want to come into IT because it's good money. But the older you are, IT is a young field. And
yes, it
if
is.
You're old in it, it's because you came into it young. But you don't start off old and come into it.
Nope.
The industry doesn't, you know, really doesn't really like that. Because they think that your ideals are old, you're not able to think in modern concepts and terms. You're already formed. And so even when I went to Amazon, you know, well, when I stopped teaching And, you know, I used to teach this stuff, you know, teach people, and the older people that were, you know, coming into IT, I would tell them, you know, I would tell them this is what's going on, and this is what you're going to be up against, because they would have a hard time getting jobs. And I said, well, this is what's happening. But then when I stopped teaching and then was going to go back into the labor market, I mean, my whole entire life since I was 18 years old, I had never been 2 weeks without a job. And so when it started, I couldn't get hired. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Daggone it. I done got old.
Yep. And, that's what it was.
And I had to face that reality. So,
yep.
So I knew I had to go back to work for a larger company. And I wanted to go back to work for a larger company. So I picked Amazon because it's huge and, you know, they're on the cutting edge. And they were very impressed. And so whatever the reason, the Most High wanted me in New York because everything was coming back in New York. And even when I would turn it down, the next opportunity would come back in New York. And I said, Most High, you know I don't want to go to New York. You know that. But that's what he was making open. But anyway, to get back to what I was talking about, having been successful at most of the things that I've put my hand to, matter of fact, I don't think it's really anything that I put my hand to that the Most High has allowed me to fail at in my life. I can honestly say that. I went before him. And I said, what is it that we as a people, I said, something's wrong here. I said, because, you know, even with your favor, I see that I could not make it without your favor. If I didn't have you on my side, I would be struggling.
Struggling.
And I knew this. I knew that, you know, I was being successful because I had favor with him. It wasn't me. He was the one that was making these things happen. He was the one that was opening doors. He was the one that was causing people to say yes, even when they didn't want to. And so I said, but there's something else wrong here. I said, what did we do as a people? I said, because as a people, we're struggling. As a people, society wants us to be on the bottom rung. No matter how good we are.
Yep.
When I would talk to white people about affirmative action, they'll be like, well, that's just reverse discrimination. I said, how is it going to be reverse discrimination when, for years, I said, even when I was in the military, I saw people who didn't know what they were doing getting promoted because of who they were, the color of their skin.
Who they were. That's right.
And then you could be, three times more than they did, and you couldn't get promoted.
Or couldn't even get the job.
You could be doing three times the work.
That's right.
And couldn't get promoted. I said, I saw this. When I first went into IT in the military, I think for what I was doing for the military, Air Force-wide, there was only 6 black people. I was one of the first. And it was an all-white male industry in the military.
That's right.
And they were telling me, oh, it's going to take you 6 years to become qualified in this job. And I did it in 2 years. And they were looking like, oh, but, you know, it's what I wanted to do, so I ate it up. And I made myself the expert. But still, you know, the discrimination and what have you was fierce. So, when I finally, you know, I had my company and I realized, you know, I had to have somebody white go in with my contracts because if it was me, I could get a contract, but I'm not going to get the best contract I could have gotten, the best deals. But he says, no, put a Caucasian up front. And I did, and the difference was day and night. Of what they will give us and what they will give their own. So I said, what did we do? Why do they esteem us this way? Why, no matter how much education we have, no matter how much money we have, no matter how much power we might perceive that we have, they still see us as the N-word. And they treat us like that. And, you know, they get to know you and say, oh, you're different. I said, no, I'm not. I said, you just took the time to get to know me. But I'm no different than any other black man. Well, you don't think like, you don't act like them. I said, I don't act like you either. But I know how to fit in with you. Because I have to. And that's when I went before the Most High with this. I said, what did we do? And that's when he brought it to my, you are my people. And I still didn't really understand what he was saying. I didn't understand it to the fullest. And he had to have somebody to explain it to me. And once they explained it to me, because I was always in the Word, but, you know, when you're in the Word and you think that the people of the book are somebody else, you actually really read the scriptures a different way. Because if we are the Gentiles, then we read the scriptures a different way. And this is what I found. It's talking about them. And they are the elect people of the Most High. And, you know, we can get in and we can have the blessings, but the chosen people of the Most High are the Hebrews. If you don't think that you're a Hebrew Israelite, don't think that you're a Hebrew. I'll put it that way. And even to say Israelite, as I said, most Hebrews today don't realize that they aren't Israelites. That'll come in the truth because they haven't done what the Most High has said to enter back in as a Hebrew Israelite. Israelite is a what? Nationality. That means it goes with a nation. You got to be a member of that nation. And what the Most High did was cut us off from being a nation. He said, now you want to get back in. Israel is going to be the body of Messiah. And for you to get back in, you got to come in that way. And it has nothing to do with your bloodline, except for I'm going to save part of your blood, a remnant of your bloodline. But that's a whole other story. Anyway, he sent somebody to explain to me, you know, in detail who we are. And it depressed me. I actually literally got depressed. We are a cursed people. And I was like, you know what, Most High? And I was really, I'm going to be honest, this is where I was at. You know what, Most High? If we are cursed people and we're, you know, we're just meant for the lake because we're cursed, then why am I not just going out raping, pillaging, and plundering? Because that's what the scripture says. If the Most High doesn't exist, and this is all there is, then you ought to make what? The most of this right now, because this is all the life you're going to ever see. That's in the Word. But because we believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and that we're cursed because of what our actions, of the actions of our forefathers. And he says, I'm going to save a remnant of you. I'm not saving all of you. You're not all my people because, and you can't treat me the way you treated me and get away with it. So he says, there's hope for some of you. But you got to come back to me with your whole heart. You got to come back to me and do what it is that I selected you to do, that I chose you as a people to do, and you got to do it with all your energy. Then I understood. And I jumped into this thing 100%, 1,000%. Because you just asking us to do right? You just asking us to be right? What does that mean to you? And everything that the Most High has shown me and told me, in my mind and in my heart, I can do it.
Amen.
Got to do it. Because the alternative It's just not acceptable.
Not acceptable.
Don't want to go to the lake.
Nope.
You know, but if that's where he says to go, he is Elohim. And it's his
He's
decision.
Elohim.
And I accept
Hallelujah.
That. But within me, everything that I can do not to go there.
I'm going to do.
I'm trying, yes.
I'm going
to
do.
As I know to do better, I'm doing
I do
better.
Better.
Won't be able to say, oh, you knew that and didn't do it.
Mm-mm.
And tell our people. But see, as we were talking about, most of us don't know who we are as a people. And most of us don't even want to know.
That's right.
And if you try to tell them, you know, and it comes down to this, the Most High, he has to reveal it. Because if he hadn't revealed it to me, I've been like, you know, we just a bad people. We're killing each other. We're robbing. We're, you know, we're doing all these, we're just doing all these bad things to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're self-destructive. And, you know, you go back and look at slavery and look at, you know, what we went through in slavery. And we were never given any type of mental health services to recover from that.
That's right.
You're just an ex-slave, you know, y'all deal with it.
Right.
And so looking, you know, trying to figure out how do we heal as a people when you have, you know, post-traumatic slave disorder, which is worse than PTSD.
Yes, it is.
Because PTSD can be, you know, you can acquire that from one event. You can have one traumatic event happen in your life and you can get PTSD. You can see somebody shot in the head and you get PTSD. See somebody get hit by a car and killed. Watch somebody die. Watch a loved one die and you can get PTSD from one single event. Now you have a people who are traumatized for centuries every day.
Every day.
What
Every
do you
day.
Think is going to be the mental condition of that people?
It's going to be bad, brother.
Right. And then you tell them, basically, just get over it.
Right.
So a lot of the things that we went through, you know, people thought, you know, a lot of people got mad when I said, you know, our women need to keep their legs closed.
They do.
Okay. Some people got mad. And then, trust me, we had some conversation. I said, hey, I got to go to the root. I'm not trying to work on symptoms. I said, when you are taught, you know, when you are in slavery and you were taught and the world sees you this way, because in order to adapt to slavery and being, you know, being exposed to, you had to sleep with whoever masters had to sleep with, then you had to take on a whole different nature.
Mm.
And we brought that nature with us out of slavery.
Mm.
And so, you know, we're trying to take an honest look and say, okay, what is really the issue? The issue is, the Most High says, you went a whoring after other gods, I'm going to put the spirit of whoredom on you.
That's right.
As a people. And then I'm going to put you in an environment where you're going to perfect your craft.
Hmm.
And then when we get freedom, we come out of it, and you know, we're having to make ends meet. We're having to survive. People are doing whatever they have to do. And so this was, you know, the statistics can lie, and you can make them say whatever you want them to say if you know how to spin them. But when you look at the statistics and it tells you 80 to 90, 98% of your children are being born out of wedlock, you got to know there's something wrong. There's something wrong. those are real hard issues to look at.
Yeah,
and
no problem.
You say, okay, what's the fix? You got to teach people the truth, and then you got to get back to the standards of the Most High.
That's right. That's right. That's our whole problem. We're disobedient. That's our whole problem right there in a nutshell.
So, right there. Got to get back to his standards. To remove the spirit.
Because, you know, brother, I ask black people all the time. I say, you got blacks that got money, that done stuff, and why we can't never get ahead? Why can't some of us do something to help us? Why? Yeah, ask them. Do you ever ask yourself that question?
And I do know people with money, black people with money.
I do too.
That won't reach back.
Nope.
They'll help somebody else, but they won't help their own.
They will not help their own.
If they do, it's with a little bit.
And then they want to demean you while they help you.
Right. And then it's not just help, they want something.
Yep.
And we're trying, I really am trying not to be that way and not to go down that road. So I've given up first.
But until we get back to the Most High, this is where we are.
Yeah, he is our only fix. You know, we're running around looking for acceptance from the nations.
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to accept us.
Never.
Because they know what the script, they know who we are. They have always known who we are.
Always.
They have taught their children who we are.
Yes, they
And told them, don't you tell them who they are.
And don't tell them.
And I've talked
and
to
if you
some
what I'm talking like that,
to people who have told me that exact thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, we were taught who you are. We know who you are. You don't know who you are.
You don't know who you are. And they know why we don't know.
Right. And they want to keep it that way.
Yes, they do.
And our people are happy to stay that way.
Yes, they are. Happy as
so,
time.
You know, but for those whosoever he woke up and whosoever he's going to wake up.
Man.
This is who this ministry is to.
Man.
Like I said, salvation is for everyone. And we will offer salvation and anybody can join. But they got it, you know, I'm not going to teach a different truth.
Amen.
Not going to do it. I'm not going to hide anything either. You know, so I don't shy away from any topic.
And I love you for that.
Yeah, I don't shy away from any topic. And whether it, you know, whether what the word says is popular or not, I don't care. It's what the word says.
That's right. That's right.
And so, you know, that's what you're going to get. That's what you're going to hear. And I'm not trying to use it to control anybody or to get over or anything like that. This is the truth. You can't solve a problem. You can't fix anything if you don't look at what the root cause is.
Let's go back to the point of origin.
Amen. So, you know, we're doing those things for those reasons. Salvation is open to all mankind.
That's right.
But we have suffered as a people with some very specific problems.
Yep.
And they are spiritual, and we're looking for the world to solve a spiritual problem.
To treat us civil.
Right, to treat us civil. So let's give them civil rights. But we can take those rights away from them anytime we want.
Right.
Because we gave it to them.
Right.
So, you know, it is... Not to be, you know, so that we're not deceived. I'm not trying to be radical or militant.
Me either, brother. I'm just trying to be true.
Right, just be true. And do what the Most High has told me to do.
Amen.
And what I have found is, no matter, it's The remnant of our people is a very small remnant.
Yes, it is.
Even with those that, you know, have been awakened, they don't all love truth. They're excited to be, they're excited and satisfied to stop. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Hebrew. Now, they'll say Israelite.
I'm a Hebrew. Hey, bro.
I'm one of the chosen people of the Most High. Okay, then why aren't you doing what he said to do?
What the Most High said to.
Right. Why aren't you doing that? Why are you stuck on identity?
Right.
And that's as far as it's gone. No, we're not going to stop there. We're not going to be stuck there. And so a lot of the things I know that the Most High has me to teach, he has to want you to hear it. He has to want you to accept it. He has to want you to believe it.
Amen.
Because I'm basically just reading the scriptures to you.
That's all you're doing, brother. And if he don't open it up for him, I'm sorry for him. But he's opening it up for me. And I thank him.
Amen. You got to want to hear it. You got to want to change. He has to want them to hear it. That's what I'm understanding. He has to want them to hear it.
I got to
understand. I'm sorry, say that again.
I got to hear it, and I got to do it.
And I want to hear it.
I want to do it.
I want to.
Amen.
That's a difference. You got to want it.
Amen,
want
because, you know, I am just, I'm surprised, but then, again, I'm not surprised. It, you know, I had the Most High has to give me the answer. I said, Most High, why is it that they won't accept this?
Right.
Why is it that they hear it? And you know, these are people that I know. I've been in this walk now going on almost 15 years now.
It's been a minute for
I
me
said,
too, bro.
Why is it that people that I've been knowing ever since I came into this, who, you know, call themselves teaching me truth, when I go back to them with things that you have shown me, they won't accept it.
They won't.
And they are stuck where they are. They're stuck.
They're stuck.
Because
that's cause he's stuck
them. I didn't give it to them to hear it.
That's cause he's stuck them.
Because if you go to Zechariah, this is when he says, prepare the flock of the slaughter. This is where I tell our people, hey, he's only saving a remnant of us. What do you think is going to happen to the rest? I said, you're going to be a sacrifice. You're going to be an example. Because
he
says, I'm going to bring you all back into the wilderness of Sinai. And I'm going to bring all the Gentiles that are called by my name with you. And I'm going to show them this is what happens to a people that does this to me. All the rebellions, the rebellious ones, this is what I'm going to do. Israel don't want to hear that.
They don't want to hear.
So he's not going to, you know, he's not going to let people off scot-free. He says, you don't do to me what you did.
You don't
walk away from it unpunished.
Right.
And all Israel wants to hear is, we're the people of the book. And he's going to gather us. Did you see what he said? What's going to happen when he gathers us? It's the remnant that all these promises are to. But if you ain't part of that remnant,
you gotta look.
It's not going to fare very well.
Nope, you gotta look.
So, you know, we want to do things. We want to be decent and in order. We want to be truthful. When I go before the Most High, I want him to say, you did exactly what I told you to do.
Hallelujah.
That's what I want to hear.
That's what I want to hear. Hallelujah.
Other than that, you know, you got to do what he said do. He said, gather yourselves, especially as you see the day approaching. Come out of her.
Man.
Everybody thinks Babylon is the United States. That's what they're teaching. I said, no. Babylon was one government, and Babylon means what? Confusion.
Confusion.
That's what it means. It says come out of confusion. What's the confusion? When you think you can run your life better than the Most High, you are confused.
You are confused.
You're right. You
when
confused.
The governments of the world think that they can run and manage mankind better than and come up with standards and laws and stuff better than the Most High, they are confused.
It's confused.
And so ever since, from the first government, Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, and those great societies, when they thought that they were the ones doing things, the Most High had to what? Turn Nebuchadnezzar into a beast?
Yes, he
make
did.
Make him understand?
Yes, he did.
It is I, the Most High, that's doing all this.
That's right. You're dropping
if you
down.
Think you're running things, you are confused.
Think again.
Let me turn you back into your base, into the beast that you are. Let me show you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the world governments. It's the governments that believe that, you know, they are able to govern themselves outside of the laws and statutes and the commandments of the Most High, that they can set up a government outside of his and rule themselves better than he can. That is confusion.
It is confusion.
And he says to come out of it. Come out of her. It's not one particular government. It's all of them that are not his government.
That's right. That's right.
So
teach, brother.
We have to, you know, recognize these things and walk in them. That's why, you know, to buy the land, to become self-sufficient, live by his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, a nation within a nation.
Amen.
And there's no reason for us not to do it in this nation. You know, the Mormons are doing it. The Quakers are doing it. And then we're going to say, oh, but we got to return to our homeland. No, we don't.
No, we don't. No.
Do it right where we're at.
Right.
And we are without excuse for not doing it.
That's right.
You are without excuse.
That's
you know,
right. And shame on the ones
well,
that don't want to do it. Shame on them.
Right. That's the bottom line. Those that don't want to do it, they're just caught up in the cares of this world.
They're reprobate.
Because this is what
they're
they
worthless.
Know. Yes. So, I have not always been able to do it. I have not always understood what to do. But as the Most High has shown me, you know, I prayed to him to give me the ability. And, you know, with my dying breath until I go off this planet.
Till I leave
him. It's to do your will.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You know, it's to do your will. And
hallelujah.
If you say come together and you say to do this, then... You know, I can't make anybody do anything,
sure.
But I'm going to do it. And then if, you know, those that know me and they want to do it too, then come and let's be of one mind.
Let's be of one mind.
Yeah.
Be of one mind.
One mind.
And let's do it. You know, and leave it for the next generation because, you know, I don't know when the Most High is going to come back.
Nope.
He didn't tell me, oh, I'll be back in 2030. He just says, my return is soon. But what does that mean? That could be 100 years from now.
Could be. Could be tomorrow.
Right, could be tomorrow.
We don't know.
But what I'm supposed to do is just do what I'm told to do.
Amen.
Be a good soldier. Follow orders.
Amen.
I know how to do that. So this is where we're at. This is why we're doing, you know, everything that we're doing. This is why we're doing. And it's for the healing of our people. Because our only fix for us as a people is to return to the Most High.
Amen.
And we can't return to the Most High if we are busy trying to keep up with this world.
With the Jones.
We're trying to live according to the standard of the world.
Mm.
Trying to be accepted by this world.
Right.
The world knows who we are. The world don't
right.
want us to be in our place.
Nope.
They don't want us to be the head and not the tail.
Nope.
Hmm.
We got you as the tail right now, and that's where we want to keep you.
Yeah. And they know the roles are going to reverse.
Huh?
They know that it's going to be reversed. But they're trying to keep it
many. Well, when I teach the things that are actually in the scripture, like I said, I'm not looking for any slaves. That's not my motivation in this. I don't want anybody to ever have to go through what we went through.
No.
I don't care who it is. The Most High says, vengeance is his.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
He shall repay.
That's right.
And he says it right in his word, but, you know, you're not going to hear a church teach this. But all the heathen that are called by my name, they're called by his name for a reason. And they are because of what they did to Israel. See, maybe I do need to teach a couple of lessons on this so that we have a complete understanding.
Amen.
Concerning why we're going through this. And this is not to be racist. It's not to be, like I said, militant. It is
nope.
So that we understand what the Most High, what he has written and said, this is what's going to happen, and this is why it's going to happen.
Yep.
So I punish my people. He says, I was but a little mad at my people, and I scattered them because of their disobedience. But I didn't tell the nations to do to them what they did to them. I didn't tell them to go as far as they went.
Yep.
And they went too far.
They went too far.
And he says, and because they went too far, this is what's going to happen to them.
Hmm.
And so Let me find this, because I don't want nobody to say Brother Miles said
Robert.
That.
Robert.
Brother Miles, you know, just interpreted that.
Teach, brother.
But I believe what I read. Let me see if I can find this. I believe it's either in Amos or Isaiah. I don't look at these verses too much because I don't want to become militant. I don't want to become angry. I don't want to be, you know, be put in a position where I start seeing all the scriptures through a certain light.
Anger. Yep.
Yeah. Because, you know, you can't offer anybody salvation. You can't, it is, you know, it's not a sin to get angry, but you can get angry and sin.
And sin not.
Right. He says, be angry, but sin not. So we are accountable for what we do. Let me see if I can just go here. Is it Isaiah chapter 9 or is it Amos chapter 9? Let's see. Isaiah.
And Amos. Isaiah.
Might be Isaiah 14.
Isaiah 14.
Yeah, I believe it might be Isaiah 14. Just a second here. Or maybe it's Amos. Let me find this real quick. Let me play a song.
Go ahead,
let me find this. But I think I might have to pull this out and teach a precept so that we as a people understand. We already know what we did. We know what our forefathers
Amen.
Did. But every nation that the Most High has brought against Israel, if that nation became puffed up, the Most High did what to them? He punished them.
He punished them.
For even thinking that, you know, they had a right to, without his consent, to do anything to his people. And so don't, if I use you to chastise my people, don't you go about bragging about it.
Hmm.
And so, you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of layers to this. And we just want the truth. Yeah, I'm going to play a song so I can find this, and then I will come back on.
Come on, let the sound of worship be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it now. Oh, that's good. Y'all raise it with it. In a motion.
Let us go to the book of Amos. I was right. The book of Amos, chapter 9.
Amen.
I'm just going to cover a few things here. I know that we are we're going over this morning, but let Yah have his way.
Amen.
Amen.
The book of Amos, chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Now, this is, you know, against Israel. And because of our rebellion, because of the disobedience of our forefathers, the Most High is pronouncing these things. But then he gets into a lot of things. So starting in verse 1, Amos chapter 9, verse 1. I saw Yah standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away. He that escaped of them shall not be delivered. He said, you know, you ain't getting out of this. Though they dig into hell, thence shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. Does he sound like he's mad?
Yes, he do.
Yes, he do.
He's angry at Israel. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemy, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set my eyes upon them for evil and not good. Remember we read last night, the Most I said, I create good and I create what? Evil.
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 It is I, Yah, that do all these things.
Yes, right.
So he's saying, I'm not, my eye is not towards you anymore for what? Good. It's to bring evil upon you. And Yah of hosts is he that touches the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned, as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that builds his stories in heaven, and has founded his troop on the earth, he that calleth for the waters of the sea, and pours them out upon the face of the earth. Yah is his name. Are you not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? Saith Yah, have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtar, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of Yah, Elohim, are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith Yah. So I'm going to destroy this nation, but I'm not going to utterly wipe you off the face. I'm going to leave a what? A remnant of you. I'm not going to utterly destroy you all. For though I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all the nations. So imagine, you know, you got this sifter with this flour in it. And instead of it being flour in it, it's Israel, the people. And he's saying, now the earth is my baking pan. And I'm just going to sift you into all these lands. And wherever you fall out at as that little grain of flour or whatever, that's the land you're going to be in. You're going to be in every nation. And all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say that evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of who?
Edom.
Edom?
Mm-hmm.
And all of who?
The heathens, which are called
which are
by
what?
My name.
Which are called by my name. They got his name for a reason. You can't be in the kingdom and be what? Unrighteous. And so all those nations that took Israel, all those nations that possessed Israel as slaves, that are into what they call Christianity. He says that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen, that's the other nations, that are called by my name, saith Yah that does this. So all those people that mistreated us, because I'm not going to do a complete lesson on that this morning, but just showing you this is the overall, this is the end of it. All those nations that took Israel as a slave and enslaved us and then treated us terrible. They knew that slavery for anybody, for a Hebrew Israelite, the Most High said for the nations, it's against the law for them to possess us as slaves. This is his law. I sent them to you for punishment, but it's actually against the law for them to possess us as a slave.
That's right.
He says, now, not only did you possess them as a slave, my inheritance, because this is why. Israel is the Most High's what? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Say that again.
Israel is the Father's firstborn.
We are his firstborn, but that ain't really what's important. So let's go to Isaiah 19. And let's get verses 24 and 25.
Yeah.
So this will be enough to give you what you need. I would encourage you to read all of the chapter for context. Isaiah chapter 19, starting at verse 24. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land. Now, this is a future day, okay? Because, well, let's go back up here so we understand. I can't leave this out so that we understand. Because when we read this, we say a lot of things, but the scriptures say something different. Let's go back up to verse 19. And as I said, I encourage you to read this for context. This is future. But it is talking about some things. So verse 19, everybody there? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll start from there.
Amen.
In that day shall there be an altar to Yah in the midst of the land of who?
Egypt.
Didn't say Israel, did it?
Nope.
Have you ever read anywhere in the scriptures where there was an altar in Egypt to the Most High?
No.
You won't find it there. This is future. And a pillar at the border thereof to Yah. And it shall be a sign and for a witness unto Yah of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto Yah because of the oppressors. And he shall send them a savior, a great one. And he shall deliver them, Egypt. And Yah shall be known to Egypt. And the Egyptians shall know Yah in that day. And shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall bow a vow unto Yah and do what? Perform it. And Yah shall smite Egypt. He shall smite and heal it. And they shall return even to Yah. And he shall be entreated of them and shall heal them. This ain't said nothing about Israel yet, has it?
Nope.
No.
In that day, there shall be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrians shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptians into Assyria. And the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. Now, these have been mortal enemies all through time. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom Yah of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt. Who?
My people.
My people.
My people.
Egypt, my people. And Assyria, the works of My hands?
That's what he said.
And Israel what?
My inheritance.
My inheritance.
My inheritance. Israel is the Most High's inheritance out of the earth of man. That's what the nation was formed for. We belong directly to the Most High. His possession. These are the ones that I selected to minister to me. But who is my people?
It's
the church. Does it
nope.
say the church?
Nope. It's Egypt.
This is what people don't, they don't teach people, okay? Now, we have a specific job. He said, told us, if we obey his voice and hearken unto him and listen to him and do what he says to do, I shall make of you what? A holy nation, right?
A holy nation.
A kingdom of what?
Priests.
Priests. That's what we were made for. That's what he selected us for. He had a priesthood in Egypt. And Egypt corrupted itself. And the Most High says, I'm going to start over. You get Israel. But you ain't going to have nobody ever tell you that. And the Egyptian is scattered just like Israel is. The true Egyptian is scattered amongst the nations just like Israel is right now. Remember when he brought us out of Egypt, he says, if you obey my voice and do these things, then these will be the blessings. But
yeah.
if you don't obey my voice, all the plagues that I put on Egypt, I will put on you.
Mm. Yes, he said that.
Egypt got scattered. And Egypt is nowhere near what it used to be when the Most High was their Elohim. He says, I'm the one that made Egypt great. And they corrupted themselves. So when he sent Jacob and all of them into Egypt to become a nation, because he had already determined that he was going to destroy Egypt because they had corrupted themselves. And I'm going to make me a priesthood, a nation of priests. And they're going to replace the Egyptian priesthood. Whole nother story. Whole nother teaching. Now, and I hate to do it this way, let's see. I don't know what book this one is in. Give me a hot second here. I believe it's in the Psalms. Because this is what the nations have done, and he says that they're going to do this, and they have done this. Give me another hot second. I know I've read this, but I don't remember exactly where it's at. See if I can find it this way. Go to Psalms 83. I knew it was in the Psalms. Psalms 83. And we're just going to read this whole psalm. Okay?
Amen.
Psalms 83, starting in verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O Elohim. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O Elohim. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. So these people consulted together, and they conspired that Israel would not be a nation anymore. When the Most High scattered us, they knew who we were. They conspired together that they would not let us become a nation again. And when they did let us become a nation, they replaced us. For they have consulted together with one consent that they are confederate against who? The Most High. The Israel that is in existence today is not to serve the Most High. They are in confederation against him. There is no way that they could be the people of the book and have 25% of the population openly gay. That goes strictly against what? The law.
The Most High.
Goes against him.
That's an abomination.
And they are not a theocracy. They are more so a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Most High ruling that land. So when they decide to come together and to make Israel a nation again, it was that's why you go over there and tell them that you are a Hebrew Israelite and see what they say.
Hmm.
Yeah, people been over there since the 1960s can't get citizenship. They don't want us back there in that land because they don't want us to be a nation again because then all, if we do what we're supposed to do, all the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, I shall make you the head and not the what?
The tail.
Yeah.
The tail. Right now they have us as the tail. They conspire together that we should not be a nation because they don't want us to be the head.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be up under them. Now the law, you know, I have to admit, when you really look at this thing, people say that the Most High doesn't have respect of anyone. But he does have respect of his people. And he says that the world will respect his people. And so, where it was against the law of the Most High for them to have us as slaves, I asked you, sisters, to look up one, at one time, what was the law concerning us having them as slaves? And the truth of the matter is, they were to be perpetual slaves. If we bought them or took them in war, they were to be our slaves forever. So how do you think they're going to feel about us?
Mm.
I'm just saying. Mm. You got to know the motivation. You got to understand we aren't the only ones that read this Bible. And so why did they treat us the way that they treated us? The law, our laws say that from the Gentile nations, if we take a slave, you transfer them to your children. What did they start doing with us?
Transferring us.
We were possessions. Huh. We were like cattle to them.
That's right.
And the owner died, what did he do? You were a part of the inheritance to their children. So they did to us what the Most High said we were supposed to do to them. Can we hear this?
Amen.
Only one problem with that. The Most High is in charge.
Amen.
And he's the one that says this is legal and this is not. So Gentile nations, even though you wanted to do this, it's not. I didn't give it to you to do. I actually made it against my laws for you to do this. And we as a people, because we don't know, then we think that, they did this by chance, or they're just evil and wicked people. No, this is, I'll have to get this. So so that we can read it in the scripture so you don't say, Brother Miles, because I don't want you ever to say, you know, that's your opinion, brother. I want you to read it in black and white because I'm not telling you something that I heard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you something that is written that I know. And we have to put it all together. So there's a reason why the nations did to us what they did to us. But the Most High says, I didn't authorize you to do that. And because you did it, the remnant of my people shall possess you. But they won't be able to treat you like you treated them. You see, a lot of our brothers read this stuff and they want to, their whole thing and their whole mind is they want to treat the Gentiles the way that they treated us. They want revenge. Most I said, vengeance is mine.
That's what he said.
So all those nations that mistreated you like that, that went too far, they're going to become your possession in the end. And they're going to serve you as handmaidens. And let's get this. I think that's in Isaiah. Israel doesn't get off scot-free, and the nations don't get off scot-free.
Amen.
Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right.
Amen.
For Yah will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel. We did bad, but he's still going to what? Choose us. He selected us for this. He's punishing us for the sins of our forefathers. But I truly believe that the Most High is waiting on us, the remnant that's going to do what he said to do. And set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them. Now, the strangers are the Gentiles that take Messiah's name.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall do what?
Possess them in the land of Yah
for
servants and handmaids.
And they shall take them captive. Whose captives they
who
were.
Who captive them were. And shall rule over them, over their oppressors.
Amen. So Israel shall take them captive, whose captives they were. Everybody who took us captive are going to become our what? Captives.
Captive.
And we shall rule over them, over our oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that Yah shall give rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou was made to serve, that thou take up the proverb against the king of Babylon. Babylon is what? Confusion. And say, how has the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. So all of the nations that took Israel into bondage and mistreated us. But also, they can't be in the kingdom, in the Most High's kingdom, unrighteous. So they got to come into the kingdom the same way we come into the kingdom. Through who? Messiah. They have to have their sins forgiven. They have to be saved. But you know what? You don't get off scot-free. Your forefathers took my people and possessed them and conspired to possess them, that they should not be a nation. You tried to take their place, and because you did that, they're going to possess you. So I have to dig out all the scriptures so that you know that Brother Miles is not making this stuff up. But we got to understand, in the Gentile nations, You know, when I first started teaching spiritual warfare and teaching on that spirit of superiority that white people want to have, where did it come from? Why do they think that they're the most superior race on the planet? Where did this stuff come from? And how is it that they come into Messiah and still maintain this ego? But they know, but as long as we don't know, as long as you can keep us from doing what we're supposed to do, then they can stay where they're at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why it's critical that we, when we wake up, that we come into truth. We don't get caught up in who we are as a people. Let's go to, and I won't hold you much longer than this, go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. And as I said, this is an overview. Ezekiel 36. And let's start in verse 1. And I sort of have to explain this, because this is where I tell Hebrews, you should not be telling the nations who you are. There's a reason for that. Ezekiel chapter 36, starting in verse 1. And if you have, if you say amen.
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 Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yah. Thus saith Yah Elohim, because the enemy has against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Now the enemy is doing what? They're bragging that they took Israel. Okay? Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith Yah Elohim, because they have made you desolate. Every time that the scripture talks about desolation, it doesn't mean without life, barren. It means absent of something. In this case, it's desolate of who? Israel, the people.
Yeah.
And swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of who?
The heathen.
And you are taken up in the lips of the talkers, and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yah Elohim. Thus saith Yah Elohim to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, and to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Now he's talking to the land that has been taken, but the people are the one who have been taken what? From the land.
From the land.
And the land is desolate of the children of Israel.
Of Israel.
Therefore, thus saith Yah Elohim, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea. Idumea is what? Edom. Which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with the despiteful minds, to cast it out for a prey. That it is his people. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, thus saith Yah Elohim, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. This was never supposed to happen. If Israel did what it was supposed to do, we were never supposed to bear the shame of the heathen. We were never supposed to be what? Overran, overtaken. And Yah is angry about it. So he says, in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith Yah, I have lifted up my hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their what?
Shame.
But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown. Now he's talking to the land, because I tell people all the time, the people, Israel, the people, whoever we are sojourners in the what? Land. And the Most High always speaks to the land. It's his land.
Man.
It's what he is, where it's what he watches over. And he says, now, if you are my people, I'm going to bring you where? Into my land. The promised land. And you will be blessed there. But when the men come in and they act wicked and they act evil, then the Most High says, the land becomes corrupt, and he casts that which causes it to be corrupt out of the land, the people. So he's telling the land, you're going to be desolate of the people, my chosen people, but I'm going to cause them to be brought back, and you shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, and all the house of Israel, even all of it. The city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be built. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. And you shall know that I am Yah. And I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel. He don't want the heathen there. He wants who? To be in Israel.
Israel.
Israel. We've got to understand this. Zion is not just the land. Zion is the place of his rest. Zion is both the land and the people. Where did he say, who did he say, where did he want to dwell at? In his people? You are the temple.
Zion.
So we are Zion. We are the place where he wants to dwell at. Know ye not that you are the temple of Elohim?
Amen.
And also his land where his people, where he wants his people to reside is Zion. It's where he takes his rest. Again, another lesson. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith Yah Elohim, because they say unto you, thou land devours up men, and has bereaved thy nations. Therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith Yah. Now this is an end state. This is a future state of Israel. Neither will I cause men to hear thee, the shame of the heathen anymore. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of my people anymore. So when we go back into the land, all those that go back into the land have to be what? Righteous.
Be righteous.
And we're not going to cause reproach on the land anymore, even his people. Right now, the heathen is in possession of the land. They're doing whatever they want to in the land. And every time they've taken over Israel, that's what's happened. And the Most High would cause them to be driven out and bring us back. But we turn out to be so corrupt, or our forefathers, they said, you know what? I selected you. Only you. Now hear this. Only you have I loved.
Mm-hmm.
Think about who's telling you that.
Mm.
The creator of the universe. Talking to all his creation and all the men on the earth. And he's telling Israel, of all the nations that I've created, only you have I loved. But you went what? A whoring after other gods.
After other gods.
After other Elohims. And this is what got us in this position that we're in. So he says, neither will I cause men to, verse 15 again, neither will I cause men to hear thee, the shame of the heathen anymore, neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people anymore, neither shalt thou cause the nations to fall anymore, saith Yah Elohim. Moreover, the word of Yah came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land. Now hear this. When the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanliness of a removed woman. He said, you were as unclean to me as a woman on her cycle. That's how much dirt they were doing. And they were spilling blood in the land. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered in unto the heathen, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. How? When they said to them, when they got scattered, when our forefathers were scattered into the land of our captors, he said, we profane his name. How? By telling them, these are the people of Yah and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity on my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned amongst the heathen. Wherever they went, we're the people of Yah. We're the people of the book. He said, why are you telling people you my people and you disobedient? Why are you telling people that you my people and you don't obey me? You don't keep my statutes, my laws, and my commandments? You don't do what I say to do? You ain't my people. Hope we can hear this.
Amen.
But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen wherever they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yah Elohim, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake. You have corrupted my name. My name is holy, and you have made it filthy. So I'm going
to
do this not for your sake, but for what?
For his name's sake.
My holy name's sake, my reputation, which you have profaned amongst the heathen wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned amongst the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am Yah, that I am Yah. And Yah Elohim, which shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Now, if we go on to read the rest of this, then we may not understand this verse when he says, I will be sanctified in you before their eyes. We might think that verse 23 and verse 24 go together, but they don't. When the Most High says he will be sanctified, keep your finger there. Go to Numbers chapter, I believe it's Numbers chapter 10. No, it's not Numbers 10. Hold on. Leviticus chapter 10. Wrong book. Leviticus chapter 10. Hold your finger there in Ezekiel. We're going to go back there. Everybody at Leviticus chapter 10?
Amen.
Amen.
Starting in verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, I've taught you this lesson before. Nadab means liberal, Abihu means worship. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them their censer and put fire therein and put incense thereupon and offered strange fire before Yah, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from Yah and devoured them, and they died before Yah. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that Yah spake, saying, I will be what?
Sanctified.
Sanctified in them that come nigh unto me. Now go back to Ezekiel chapter 36. How did the Most High sanctify himself with Nadab and Abihu?
He burnt them up.
For their transgression, right?
Yep.
Okay. We're in verse 23, I believe. Now remember, he's saying Israel caused the nations to what? Profane his name. And he cast Israel out of the land. And he says, now I'm going to clean up my name. I'm going to sanctify my name. And verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned amongst the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am Yah, that saith Yah Elohim, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. What do you think he's going to do? The same thing he did to Nadab and Abihu, he's going to do
Maybe.
To the rebellious ones of Israel. In
yeah.
front of the heathen's eyes. I'm going to burn up all you rebellious ones. So that the heathen know not to do this. So all those that are rebellious, and we can go to those scriptures, that he tells us, he's going to gather all of Israel back to Israel, whether they know they're a Hebrew or not. Whether they know that they're Israel or not, that they are of the flesh. He's going to gather them back at Mount Sinai, the wilderness of sin, Mount Sinai. And there he says, I will reason with them. But all the rebellious ones don't get to make it into Israel. They are killed right there in the wilderness. This is where that's going to happen.
Amen.
I'm going to be sanctified. That's why he says, I'm bringing you back, saith Yah, when I shall sanctify you before their eyes. There is the heathen. Their eyes are the heathens that come with us. Remember, we read in Isaiah that all of the heathen that possessed us, we're going to do what? Possess them. And they're going to be in the wilderness with us. And Yah says, because we caused the heathen to profane his name, that he's going to be sanctified in us before their eyes. This is what happens to you when you disobey me. Look and watch. Now all the rest of them that make it, now verse 24 applies to them. All the ones who make it, who the Most High considers to be the remnant, they are in verse 24. All the rebellious ones are in verse 23. That's why I said when people read this, they will run these together. But they don't go together. It's two separate subjects. It's two separate groups of people. He's telling you, this is the judgment I'm going to cause. I will be sanctified in you. The closer you are to the Most High, the more accountable he holds you.
Thank you, Father.
And Israel, you are my chosen people. So guess what? Only you have I loved, and you did me like dirt. And then when I woke you up and had you to come back to me, some of you were still rebellious. So guess what? You become the sacrifice. You become the example. I'm going to sanctify myself and clean up my holy name in you before the heathen. That don't mean I'm going to convert you. I'm going to destroy you out of me, all you that are rebellious. I'm going to burn you up in front of the eyes of the heathen that is called by my name. So that they know you coming into the land. I think it's Ezekiel 44. It's either Ezekiel 44 or 27. Let's see. Maybe it's 44 and 27. It's bad when you get old.
No, it ain't.
It is when your memories start going. I used to be able to call this stuff up. Yeah, used to be able to call this stuff up. I may have to find this. I believe, I thought it was in Ezekiel 44. You're going to find out that Israel is going to be required to give all the heathen that are called by the name of the Most High, give them a possession in the land wherever the heathen wants to reside at, whatever tribe they want to reside in. That tribe has to give them a possession. And you can't. We're not going to be able to possess them like they possessed us. We can't be unrighteous with them like they were with us. I'll find it. Maybe I'll have it for the next time that we're on. I'm going down different rabbit holes. Anyway, I'll find that verse so you can see that the scripture says that they'll get a possession in the land. All those that want to be part of Israel, and they want to hold fast to Jacob. Jacob will possess them as slaves, as servants, and they will get but the servants will get their own possession in the land. So I'll have to come. I'll have to find that that verse. I know it's in Ezekiel. I thought it was 44. But I'll have to find it. I'm not going to waste a lot of time there. Understand that we cause the nations to profane the name of the Most High when we tell them that we're his people and he couldn't keep us in our own land. And we're not supposed to be telling them that, because every time we tell them that, he says, you profane my name. And I'm going to clean up my name. But not for your sake, but for whose sake? His own sake. Right.
For his sake.
We got to understand this. You don't get to do to him what we did.
And get away with it.
And get away with it. Let's go one more place, and we'll call it a day. One more place. Go to Ezekiel chapter 39. And I'll have to put this priest up. I don't know where I have it at. I'm going to have to redo it. Ezekiel 39. As I said, I'm not caught up on having slaves. It's not the most important thing to me.
No.
And I'm not looking for revenge.
No.
I'm looking to enter into the kingdom, and I want to serve the Most High.
Praying for forgiveness.
Right. Let's start in verse 23. Actually, we really should read this whole thing. We're not going to read the whole thing. I've told you enough. Then you can go back. Start in verse 21. We'll start in verse 21. We're going to read through 29. When you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Yes.
All right. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgments that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am Yah, their Elohim, from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword, and according to their uncleanliness, and according to their transgression, have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore thus saith Yah, Elohim, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob. Now he's talking about, when he says bring again the captivity, he's talking about bringing it back, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses, whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' land, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am Yah their Elohim, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. He's going to gather us all. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith Yah Elohim. So he's going to gather us all back there, but he also tells us that because we profaned his name, he's going to be sanctified in us. Hold on. Things in Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7.
Jeremiah chapter
7. We're just going to get verses 10 and 11, then we're going to call it a day. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 10 and 11. When you have it, if you say amen.
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 Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith Yah. Neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith Yah, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee. See, these nations, where he scattered us, he said he's going to do what with them? Make an end of them. For though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of you. But I will correct thee in measure. I will not leave thee what?
Yes.
Altogether unpunished. So all the heathens that took Israel as a possession, Most High says he's going to do away with those countries. He's going to altogether end them. That's the end of them. But he says, I'm not going to altogether end you. I'm not going to save all of you. I'm going to save a remnant. But I'm going to bring you back into your land. But I'm not going to leave you altogether unpunished. You don't get away with this.
No, you're getting away with it.
And so in other places, then you find out who gets punished and why. That being said, Father Yah, we thank you for your word on today.
Yeah.
Father, give us peace in truth.
Yeah.
Whether we be Jew or Gentile, Let us accept your word. You are Elohim and you are sovereign. Mm. And you will do as you please.
Amen.
Father, we just want to fall into your perfect will and do your ways. Have an understanding in spirit and in truth as you reveal your arm to us, your people, and what you are going to do. We give you praise on today, and we glorify you. We accept your ways. We accept your judgments.
Amen.
For you are Elohim of Elohim. You are the great I Am, and there is none higher than you. You appeal to no one.
Amen.
This is your desire. It is what you want. You chose us as a people, as your inheritance. And all of us who come back to you and serve you in spirit and in truth with our whole heart, you have promised us that you will put us back in our place for which you created us for, to be your priesthood. And so, Father, we just want to be right in your eyes and do what you say to do. We're not looking for slaves, Father. We're not looking for revenge. We're actually looking to atone for the sins of our forefathers.
Amen.
To do what they would not do. Obey your voice. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So we will meet again on Tuesday, newcomers, class, and, you know, continue in whatever lesson we're in there. I will look to put this precept together so I can teach it in its entirety and not hop around so that we understand that we are the people of the book. We are scattered amongst the nations. We are this way because of the iniquities of our forefathers, their complete disobedience, and that when he wakes us up, it's so that we will return unto him fully and not be blinded by, you know, our insecurities, our desire to be somebody other than to be his. Shalom, family. Have a blessed
Shalom.
Day.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Peace and blessings.
Amen.
All right.
Amen, Father. Good lesson. Good lesson.
Okay. luck. Oh, one time, push a buck. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a